When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. You may be seated.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Westside. So good to see you. Guests, visitors, awesome to have you. Let me just one more time. Merry Christmas. There we go. Okay. I went fast for you. Couldn't respond. Really good to see you. My name is Matt. I'm the lead pastor here at Westside, and it's just a joy to have you with us. Thanks for squeezing in here. For one, that was just really nice that we could do that together. We know that lots of people, you know, who maybe don't attend church regularly make a bit of a point on it at Christmas Eve or on Easter. And so if you're here and you wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus, we're really, really thankful to have you. Glad that you're here with us. You're in the right place. If you don't know why this looks like this, it's because you missed Hope Alight. That's terrible. But you really did miss it. It was an amazing time. We had the city in here. We got big plans already for next year, some things that we want to do. But it was such a fun time, like to the team, a lot of the people who are on the stage today, but Mark and Andrew and the whole team that pulled that off. Thank you so much for doing that. It was a really beautiful time. Christmas has been fun this year. We've had all kinds of things happen, like the Home Alone night, like the our Dinner of Love stuff, like all kinds of things going on through here. It's just been incredible to see, like, the way it seems to me, like in these crazy and chaotic days, there's a real hunger for truth. There's a hunger for what's real. There's actually a hunger for the transcendent. And so what we're doing tonight, and I'm just going to take a few minutes here, kind of in the middle before we get into some kind of my favorite part of Christmas Eve, which is our response time together. But I just want to take a couple minutes with you and just focus on that transcendent reality, because what we celebrate when we celebrate incarnation, it's a fancy theological word that means that God became one of us. Like God took on human form in the person of Jesus, which is like a mind-numbing thing to think about. The implications are ridiculous. Like in Jesus and at his incarnation, we learn, like humanity was changed forever, and we actually learn what it means to be human. And this whole idea of like what was beyond us coming to us, that God would show his love for us in becoming one of us, coming close to us to deal with our sin, our brokenness, like the fact that he would do that, like it has so many implications for how we live today. And if you're not a regular part of this community, you just should know this is what we do as Jesus people in this church. We're just on a journey together to try to figure out how do we live like this transcendent life with God, like grounded in Vancouver, grounded in our bodies, in our lives, like here in flesh, but like when the transcendent has come close to us, when God has said, not just come to me, but abide in me. Not just come to me, but stay with me. Like this whole idea that Jesus came to us, that God the Father sent his son because he loved us, and then said, didn't just say, come to me once, but like stay with me all the time. Stay with me. Like live with me. Live a brand new kind of life. Jesus, when he was born, like veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail incarnate deity. When we sing these words here, like what we were saying is in this moment, like in this moment, something is being revealed to us. This desire of God's heart that we would be one with him. Not that we would be him. Don't make the pantheistic or the panentheistic mistake, but that we would be one with him. This is why Jesus came. It's incredible. And so I just want to look at one detail. Catherine and Jono have been reading for us some of the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2 as we've gone through. And there's just like one tiny little detail. Like it almost seems so insignificant. I just want to look at it with you like a little bit for a few minutes because I think it will help us understand like how tangible the transcendent means to be, is supposed to be, can be in our lives because Jesus came. As we've been going through Luke chapter 2, and they've been doing such a beautiful job of reading it for us, there's one little detail and that I just want us to see, and it's the name of a place. The name of a place that gets talked about, sung about a lot at Christmas time, a place that was written about, prophesied about all through the Bible. It's a small place today. Like today, this place has a population just around 30,000. And this specific place is very much right now, you can look it up on the news, very much at the center of world events still. Still. About 30,000 people live in there right now. It's a place referred to twice already in Luke as the city of David. And I'm talking, of course, about Bethlehem. Bethlehem is called the city of David in Luke 2 twice because it's where King David's father was from, where David would rule for a time, where David was anointed king by the prophet Samuel. And Bethlehem features heavily in the Christmas story because God promised that Jesus would come from David's line and be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was part of the messianic promises, the promises of a Messiah to come. So it's no coincidence, Catherine read it for us off the top, it's no coincidence that then the emperor of Rome, Caesar Augustus, makes a decree that they want to count all of their citizens. He makes a decree that they're going to take a census. We see this all the way through the Bible, like that for the foreign policy of the Roman emperor is actually a tool in the hand of God. Like, it is, there's no, like, Caesar Augustus, right? Emperor of the Roman Empire. He thinks he's pretty much at the apex of authority and power. In reality, he's working out the details of a story that somebody else is writing, like a true sovereign. And this true sovereign has his eyes on Bethlehem. He has his eyes on a man named Joseph and his pregnant fiance, Mary. He had his eyes on the child that Mary was carrying, and this child was to be born in Bethlehem. So, completely unaware of the cosmic implications, Caesar Augustus calls for a census. Joseph responds by taking Mary in the very late stages of her pregnancy to Bethlehem to be counted. But Bethlehem isn't just where things happened to take place. It's not just the birthplace of God in human form. It's not just the place that the magi, the wise men from the east, would come like 2 years later to worship a toddler. No, Bethlehem was a prophecy in itself. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. The house of bread. And to understand why this name is significant, you have to know some of what God was born to do. Not just that he was born, but what he was born to do. See, Jesus didn't just come, no matter what Ricky Bobby tells you, like he didn't stay 6 pound, 8 ounces baby Jesus. Talladega Nights is like a deep pull these days. That's like, I'm going way back. But Jesus was actually born to do something. The Bible tells that God came in human form specifically to set captives free. So Jesus came proclaiming the truth about the kingdom of God in a world that is being governed by lies. Lies that tell us that the point of this whole story is us. Materialistic lies. Individualistic lies. Humanistic lies. Jesus comes and speaks the truth about the kingdom of God into all these lies. He proclaims truth and it's like light into darkness. Jesus comes healing the sick. He comes casting out demons. We've been talking about this as a church recently. He comes to free those who are being tormented. But sometimes we forget something else that marked the life of God incarnate. Something else that Jesus had a habit of doing. See, Jesus had a habit of feeding people. He seems to always be feeding people. I mean, more than once, for example, several thousand people follow Jesus out into the wilderness where they all become hungry and all have nothing to eat. And it's in these moments that Jesus is in the wilderness with a large group of people who are hungry that we see what God was born to do. Like what Jesus came to do. So out of almost nothing, on more than one occasion, Jesus produces food and feeds thousands. And by the way, you know, people love to follow a guy like that. This is before their food was like flown in and trucked like to the nearest independent or IGA or whatever. It was before you could buy all your Christmas groceries on points. Like this was a big deal for people. Like bread, for example, like nobody was counting their macros. Nobody was on a low carb diet. Like bread is a staple. This is not a luxury. And so when Jesus gives these people bread in the middle of the wilderness, when he comes to feed them, giving them bread by the thousands out of nothing and in the middle of nowhere, these people realized that he had come to satisfy their deepest desire. He'd come to take care of what they needed most. And it's why I just love how one of my friends talks about the incarnation of God. Somebody in our church, he just says that the incarnation of Jesus, this is a display of divine hospitality. I mean, just for a second, think about the implications of Jesus coming to feed us. He didn't just come to save us from sin. He didn't just come to save us from sin. He chose to be born in the house of bread. And then Jesus doesn't just grow up and head straight to the cross. No, he spends his time feeding the hungry. And none of this that we see in Jesus, by the way, if you haven't read the Bible, like none of this is a one-off. This is what we see God doing all the way through the scriptures. He constantly invites the hungry to come to him, the hungry to step into his community, and he promises to feed them. And this is also why Jesus sent us out to do the same. And just as an aside here, like this is one of the reasons I'm so proud, honored to be a part of this local community of Jesus people. Like you are a feeding of the hungry kind of people, and I'm so grateful. Like this church, you are so generous with your giving. Like every year, you give above and beyond your regular giving to take care of those in need in our community. Just this month, we committed $100,000 in 2024. To supporting initiatives in the Downtown East Side. And what I'm so excited about with these initiatives is that they're not our new initiatives. These are the initiatives of some amazing churches in our community. I can't wait to tell you the story. Like West Side, for those of you who are part of this church, like I can't wait to tell you how it all worked out and how God led us in this. But we've been able to come alongside Christ City and Coastal Church and just like support them, partner with them, what they're doing. Like $100,000. Like last week, we fed 300 people in our dinner of love. 300 hungry people came here for a meal. And they didn't just leave with a full belly. Okay, that's good news. You can clap for that. They didn't just leave with a full belly. They were given gifts on top of that. On top of all that, we packed more than 100 boxes for Whole Way House. Like just so some people who don't have a lot at Christmas can be reminded of what really is God's heart toward them, that he loves them. Like Jesus came feeding the hungry and he sent us out to feed the hungry. Why would he do that? Why would he call us to this? Why would he make such big investments in just taking care of people in need? It's because Jesus was born in the house of bread. Jesus was born in the house of bread, and Christmas is good news for the hungry because the heart of the gospel, it's God's desire to take care of our needs. Like just one more time, because this is a tough one. This is a tough one to really let sink all the way in. The heart of the gospel is God's desire to take care of our needs. He wants to take care of your needs, your hunger, my needs, my hunger. This is what we see at the incarnation of Jesus, as God becomes one of us. And every single one of us here who would profess to know Jesus, who would say, I don't just know about Jesus. My life belongs to Jesus. You say that. You live that way. You live pursuing him, abiding with him, staying with him, like living this transcendent life, letting the Holy Spirit, Jesus Spirit, guide you and lead you into like an otherworldly kind of mission. It's really an adventure with him. As you step out and you listen for his promptings and you obey them and you take risks, and he comes and he provides for you in the midst of those risks. Like this adventure that you're living as a Christian, like this beautiful life is because you one day realize that the divine hospitality of the incarnation goes way beyond just filling our bellies. He didn't just come to fill our bellies. No, listen to what Jesus said in John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now, Jesus, like he says this one day, he says this to a group of people who were following him because he fed them physically. Like they had eaten the loaves in the wilderness, like they were following Jesus because he had given them something real, something physical to eat. But Jesus wants to make sure that they don't miss the point of the physical meal. Like the physical meal is not the apex of this whole incarnation thing. The physical meal, a satisfied stomach, is not why Jesus came. This was never just about loaves of bread in the wilderness. No, Jesus came to offer satisfaction and life by giving himself for us to eat. It's why he says this in John 6:48 to this same group of people explaining what he meant. He says, I am the bread of life. Now he clarifies. This is the bread that comes down from heaven. That's the incarnation he's talking about. That's the Christmas story. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. The living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And it was whenever Jesus said things like that, that people left him. People like a miracle worker who gives them physical bread. Not so much somebody who says that you actually were made to live on me. Jesus was constantly turning people away with this kind of language, but he would not drop the point because Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus had to be born in the house of bread. It's nothing to do with yeast, flour, water, oil. It's nothing to do with that. No, it's because the incarnation would lead to this moment, the moment Jesus is talking about here, the moment God would give himself up for the life of the world. And it means this. It means this. And this matters for us tonight, 2023, December 24, downtown Vancouver. It means that the only way to really be fed by Jesus is to have an encounter with God himself. It means the only way to really be fed by Jesus is for you to step into the transcendent. He doesn't just want to fill your belly and give you his stuff. He wants to give you himself. It's the reason the living bread came down from heaven. It means this. It means God's desire, God, higher than Caesar, the sovereign, his desire is still to feed you and me right now. Like, I mean right now. I mean 3:50 on December 24th, 2023. He wants to feed you. Christmas, in our part of the world, comes with the temptation to try to satisfy ourselves in the stuff of the world, right? We know that. But at a certain point, if we can just be honest with ourselves, if you'll be honest with yourself, I'll be honest with myself, at a certain point, we realize that everything here fades. Nothing we can see lasts. When we're young, it feels like everything's going to last forever. We get older, we realize it's just not true. And little by little, or maybe for some of us all at once through some great pain or tragedy, we experience real hunger again. Like you experience a hunger that is actually familiar to you, a hunger that you remember from when you were young. A hunger that popped up periodically throughout the decades of your life. And it comes back to you again and again and again. And you did the thing. You realized the ambition, or you didn't realize the ambition. You got the job or you didn't get the job. You bought the house, or you didn't buy the house. Like, you had the family or you didn't have the family. Like, whatever it is. You have everything, or everything was taken away from you. The hunger comes back again. What you need to know, and like I just feel like this is on the Lord's heart for us. What you need to know is that Jesus came to deal with that hunger, the hunger that just keeps coming back. He came to satisfy that hunger, the hunger you've been trying so hard to satisfy. And this is why Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Because our hunger is a clue to understanding who we are and why we're here. Someone in our church has a book coming out that I was privileged to read. And it's a book coming out hopefully this next year on the incarnation of Jesus. And I love how Dr. Karkner says it there. I want to read this for you. He writes, "Many people today sense God calling them to rethink life, to become something more. They sense him calling them forward and upward, out of their self-pity and narcissism, consumerism, resentment, anxiety, and sullenness. Before the burning bush encounter, Moses was also someone who was stuck in life and at a dead end. Perhaps these contemporaries are called to launch a journey, innovate a solution to a major problem, make a medical breakthrough, stop a war, or follow a risky life-changing quest." Our hunger comes in all shapes and sizes, but we all have a hunger. And this is why the living bread came down from heaven to earth, to satisfy that hunger, for you and I to be caught up in a much, much larger story. God expresses his love for us by making a way to satisfy our hunger. Remember, the Christmas story is Jesus showing us divine hospitality, like it's God setting a table. I love when some of you set a table for us, like we come over and you put a cocktail in our hand. We're at ease, we're comfortable. Then you set a table and there's food in front of us and we just get to hang out there together. Like, a lot of you are gonna be doing that tonight. Not everybody, tomorrow, not everybody. But if you've ever been hospitable, you know what that takes. Like, God was more hospitable than anything we could ever imagine. He didn't just give his things. He didn't just give his time and energy. He gave himself to literally set a table. to spread a table out in the wilderness of our lives, in the wilderness of this world, and to say there is bread for you to eat, to be satisfied by. So I want to do two things, because responding to Jesus is really, really simple. I said before, like, he wants to feed us right now. Just so you know, like, whenever any of the invitations that God gives us to come to him are so, so simple. Sometimes they're so simple, we couldn't even believe it could be real. But it's really, it's so simple to come to Jesus. So we're going to do this in two ways. Anybody who's hungry and wants to be fed, I'm not talking about your belly right now, that'll be later. I'm talking about the hunger underneath the hunger. The hunger that keeps coming back. Anybody who's hungry and wants to be fed, it looks like two things. First of all, if you know Jesus, because it's Sunday and we didn't meet this morning, so this is our Sunday gathering also. So if you know Jesus, we're going to do what we do every single week together. We're going to take communion together. And as I was praying about this communion time for us as a church, I felt like God would be very pleased for us as a people to pray some bold prayers this Christmas, like to ask for some really bold things. And I think it begins with asking him to just satisfy the hunger beneath the hunger. Not with the stuff of the world, but with the bread of life, the living bread that came down from heaven. So I don't know what your hunger is. Like, I don't know if it's ambition. I don't know if it's sorrow over sin. I don't know what your hunger is, just emptiness, homesickness, longing for him, longing for more. I don't know what it is, that how you would describe your hunger, but I know that Jesus came to meet you and satisfy you. So we'll do that in a second. I'll give some instructions. But for everybody else, if you wouldn't profess to know Jesus, if you would say, yeah, I wouldn't identify as a Christian or as a follower of Jesus, again, we're so glad you're here, but we want to invite you to consider Jesus. We run this course. It's you know, it's been around the world. You know, it's you probably heard of it. This course called Alpha. It's a really simple first step. So we're going to play a video. And you could just, we just want you to hear some of the testimonies of people who've taken Alpha in the past. We want to invite you. We've got an Alpha coming up this January. If you're hungry and you're not sure how to be satisfied in Jesus, we want to invite you to take a step toward the transcendent. You can register for Alpha right now in the lobby. You can literally walk right out of here after you watch this video and just sign up and say, I'm in. I want to have, it's a judgment. Alpha is a judgment-free zone. We sit around, we talk about the claims that Jesus made, the things that he said about himself. We have spiritual conversations. It's not a bunch of answers. It's a place for you to come and contemplate and to consider with a group of people. So as we play the video, if you don't know Jesus, as you're considering taking a step toward the satisfaction of your hunger by signing up for Alpha or telling us, letting us even know who you are so we can walk alongside you, whatever that looks like, I'm going to ask you, if you're a follower of Jesus, to do this. We're all going to stand when the video plays. We're going to have servers down here. They're holding baskets with little plastic cups, little wafer, a cracker, symbolizing the body of Jesus, a little bit of juice symbolizing the blood of Jesus. As the video plays, come forward, take communion, go back to your seat, and then after the video, I'll come out. We'll take communion together. We'll step into that transcendent moment together with Jesus, and then we'll keep worshiping and responding together in the room. Sound good? So in order for the Christians to come forward and take the communion, I'm going to ask everybody stand for the video just so we can get through the seats. So let's watch it together.
I joined Alpha mostly because a friend recommended it to me, but it was also because I was a returning Christian to the faith, and she said it would be really great as a returning Christian to reground myself in Christian beliefs and what was actually real and what was maybe false teachings that I had previously.
I was attending to Westside Church services, and then I have many questions because people were talking about Christianity and I didn't know what was Christianity. So I sent a message asking for what is a Christian. And they answered me to, you must take Alpha.
I stayed mostly because I was making a lot of friends and I was eating free food. But I was also really growing in my Christian faith because I was getting to ask questions that I had doubts ever since I was a child. And it was just really fruitful for me.
I could feel my faith getting stronger every week. And I also really liked the people that I met in the group and the conversation we had. What's awesome about Alpha is that there is no judgment on the table. People can talk about some deep question that we wouldn't normally discuss in our lives, such as what's the meaning of life, and does God exist, and where is this suffering coming from, and what is the morality, without feeling like we have to have the perfect answer.
The biggest takeaway that I have from Alpha was finding a community who helped me to know more about God and learn the values of Christianity.
During the Alpha retreat weekend, I had a wonderful experience. I saw so many people going to each other, praying for each other. And I was in this place in my Christian journey where I really felt like I was more action-based and I had to do things and I had to be out of my own will. And I had prayed in that moment. I was like, Lord, just, you know, if you want me to go pray for someone, then show me, tell me, give me a sign that I need to go up and I need to pray for someone and give me the right words to say. And the second I got done with that prayer, I actually had people come up to me and people started praying for me. And they're like, Kevin, you're doing great. The Lord is pleased with you. You don't have to do anything. So that just, it was just a moment where I had a personal relationship, personal moment, and just meant a lot to me. So it's a good weekend.
So if you're thinking about joining an Alpha, I gotta say, you won't be disappointed. My experience was really good, so I'm pretty sure yours will be too. And you never know what's going to happen and what you will learn, so that's the exciting part. Also, I would like to encourage you to think about someone in your life who'd benefit from Alpha, and you can just take a moment to pray about it, and I'm pretty sure there's probably at least one person who would come to your mind.
So people are still coming, as you're still coming forward, this is just a moment for us. Now, as people who would profess to know Jesus and love him, just take your time coming forward, grabbing the things. Don't trample each other, getting communion. We'd be missing the point. I feel this for us, like I said before, like I feel like God's desire would be for us to pray some bold prayers. The incarnation of Jesus means that, like, it's like following him, coming to him, abiding with him, walking with him. This is nothing less than us repeatedly putting our lives on the line with him. Jesus gave us himself, and the only response to that that could ever be fitting is for us to give ourselves to him. Now, we struggle at times to do that because we get really hungry. We get hungry for other things. And we start to maybe be afraid that Jesus, if we give our lives to him, won't satisfy those hungers, that he'll make a mess of our lives, that he'll ruin things. I had to confess that to Jesus myself personally just like a few weeks ago. Like, Jesus, I feel like you're going to destroy my life. I feel like if I keep saying yes to you, you're going to ruin everything. It's because I'm hungry for something. You're hungry for something. And then what Jesus does when we come to him honestly like that, which is, by the way, what communion is all about. This is when Christians talk about confession. Confession is just simply telling the truth about the way things really are for us, in us, around us. When we come to Jesus in confession, he comes to meet us in those hungry places. He comes to satisfy them, not by giving us the stuff of the world, but by giving us the solution to the hunger beneath the hunger. And right now, the people in our city are so desperately hungry. People are starving for a sense of the transcendent. And we as Christians, like the life that we get to walk in is that transcendent life. Communion with God. It's why we call this communion. So I just want to invite you, we're going to take just like 20, 30 seconds right now because we're just all walking. I want to just get a little bit of stillness in our hearts if we can. Just enjoy the sound of the kids. And like just take 20, 30 seconds and just consider like, where am I hungry? I know for some of us that hunger is like acute, like it's right on the surface. It's like it's all you're ever thinking about is how things are not where they need to be. And for others, it's just a little bit harder. You got to dig a little bit deeper. But I just want you to know that Jesus invites the hungry to come to him. He invites the thirsty to come to him. Come to me, all who are hungry and thirsty. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, come to me. He says, abide in me. And abiding, as we talk about as a church all the time, begins with surrender. And so this moment right now for us as a church, with this little cracker, a little bit of juice, this is a moment of saying to Jesus, we're coming to you. We're abiding in you. So I want to invite you to remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, after supper, after giving thanks for the disciples, he picked up a loaf of bread, he broke it, and he said, this is my body given for you. He said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And he took up a loaf of bread, broke it. This is my body given for you. Do this, church. Eat this in remembrance of Jesus. And in the same way, after supper, because Jesus didn't just come to satisfy our hunger, he also came to take care of our sin, to wash away all our impurity, all our brokenness, to reconcile us to his Father so that we could be one with him and one with his Father, just like he is one with his Father, so we could live this transcendent life. So Jesus went to the cross and he bore our sin on the cross. So after supper, he didn't just pick up the bread and say, this is my body given for you. He also held up a cup of wine and said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Church, this is the forgiveness of sins. It is the wiping away of all of our guilt. And so take it. Remember Jesus. Let's remember him together. Father, we love you. Thank you, God. Thank you that the living bread came down from heaven. Thank you that we get to remember Jesus right now, that our longings can be fulfilled. That you came, God, you came not just to deal with something, not just to deal with us, not just to deal with our sin, but to satisfy our deepest needs, to take care of our hunger. And so we ask, Lord, we ask that you would begin a movement in this city from your church, not just this church, but all of your people in this city, that you would begin a movement of satisfaction in your church, that we as your people would be so satisfied in what you've done for us, so satisfied in the lives you've called us to lead, so satisfied with the mission that you've called us on, that we would walk around in this world like nobody else would have any any real paradigm for this, and they would see the satisfaction in us and become so hungry, so aware of their hungry themselves. Lord, we ask you to feed us, and we ask you to use us to feed like thousands and thousands of hungry people in this city. Father, thank you that you loved us this much, that you sent your Son, that whoever calls in the name of Jesus will be saved. Thank you, Lord, that you showed us your favor in this way. And so we ask, Lord, you come and satisfy us tonight. Come and satisfy us together as a people right now. And for those here right now, Jesus, who don't yet know you, we ask you, draw them to yourself in the days and weeks and months ahead. Satisfy them too. In Jesus' name, amen.